Welcome to the Cold Steel Surgical Podcast with your hosts, Amir Farouk and Chad Ball.
Dr. Rivard, thank you so much for joining us today on the Cold Steel Podcast. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on the show and to hear about the Winnipeg or the University of Manitoba program. So can you tell us a little bit about what makes the University of Manitoba General Surgery Program special?
So, well, thanks, Amir, for having me. I'm really excited to be here tonight as well. I think what makes the University of Manitoba program special, there's really a couple things. One, you know, we are a small to mid-sized program. I think that for us, that actually works in its favor. We have a pretty equal ratio of staff to residents. And so, you know, as the residents progress through, we all get to know them really, really well. And so when you get to know the residents and the residents get to know the staff, both people have invested interests in each other. And so there's just that really good collegial group. You know, their successes are our successes. And obviously that is really important for the trainees and for the staff as well. The other thing that I think makes our program special is the residents do a dedicated 3 months of endoscopy. And so it's not a rotation on the gastroenterology service. It's actually 3 months dedicated endoscopy with surgical endoscopists. And so it's scoping all day, every day. And so getting their numbers to be confident by the time they're done and attendings and being able to go anywhere and scope is very easily done in our program as well.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Dr. Halawa, I'm sure will whip anybody into shape, so that's great.
So,
tell me a little bit about the kind of the structure of the program. What do the years kind of look like? Is it pretty consistent from resident to resident, or is it pretty individualized?
So, you know, it is individualized to a degree. You know, we have the way that our rotations are spread out is they're all individual subspecialty rotations. So we have our surgical oncology rotation, we have our hepatobiliary rotation, we have our acute care rotations, our trauma rotations, colorectal, and then our minimally invasive and bariatrics, and then our community surgery. And so the way it typically works is that the residents will do essentially all of those rotations as a junior learner, spending a couple months on the service, and then they will come back again as a senior learner. So they get to do the rotations from a junior perspective, where they really get to focus on some of the foundational knowledge behind those subspecialties. And then when they come back as a senior, then they can build upon that knowledge. And then they're, you know, able to do a lot more in the OR. They have more decision-making ability in the clinic. They can come up with their own plans and just kind of see a lot of that knowledge come through to fruition. How long everybody spends on each rotation can be a little bit tailored. Typically, everybody does a month of trauma every year and a month of acute care surgery every year. But the other rotations, they might just do one as a junior, one as a senior. Every once in a while, they might do, you know, maybe two as a senior, one as an early senior, one as a late senior. And it also kind of is tailored depending on what they want their future career path to be as well. And then pediatric surgery, I should say, as well. They do sometimes pediatric surgery as a junior resident as well.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. You kind of alluded to some of the strengths of the program. Anything else that you'd like to highlight about the University of Manitoba General Surgery Program?
So, I think that a couple other things that I'd like to highlight. One, we have a rotation that we started shortly before COVID. We call it our Silver Service, and it's basically the so our gold service is our trauma service. And so the silver service is basically the trauma surgeon's elective practices. And so traditionally that was kind of an orphan service. There wasn't necessarily a resident assigned to it. The trauma surgeons would just kind of, you know, gather residents as needed for assists in their ORs. And it wasn't an official kind of teaching service. And so we've made it an official teaching service. And it's actually a junior resident rotation where there's a PGY2 on that rotation, and there's no senior on the rotation. So it's a really good opportunity for the junior residents to get help and practice running a service. They are the first assist in all of the, you know, common open operations. They're doing, you know, reversal of Hartman's procedures. They're doing hernia operations. They're doing cholecystectomies. They're doing that kind of stuff. And so they're the first assist. They get lots of good operative experience. And then they also do a bunch of central lines on that service as well, under fluoro. And so, you know, they come out of their 2 or 3 month rotation on silver, really having a good grasp of how to put in central lines on the ward if it's needed. They can, you know, do a laparoscopic cholecystectomy start to finish. They can do a lot of hernias, a lot of that stuff. And so it really gives them the confidence for when they get into a more senior role that they know how to run a service.
That's fantastic. What do the graduates typically do after completing general surgery in at the University of Manitoba? What's kind of the split community? What kind of fellowships do people go on to do?
So I would say that probably about 80% are doing fellowships and about 20% aren't doing fellowships. Now, some of the people doing fellowships are still intending on doing community practice. They just, you know, maybe want a little bit of extra experience to bring to that community. So, for example, you know, we've got people that want to just do a little bit of extra breast, so that when, if they're going to a community that has a breast focus, then they can take that breast knowledge with them. So this year we have someone doing a breast fellowship. We have somebody doing a minimally invasive fellowship. We have somebody doing a trauma fellowship. We have somebody going directly into community practice in one of our kind of peripheral towns just outside of Winnipeg here. So it's varied. People are, you know, they're getting the fellowships that they want, which is great. But not everybody wants to do a fellowship, and the people that don't want a fellowship are they're able to go and find it and get good jobs that they enjoy.
Yeah, it seems like people are coming out well trained and going in are well equipped to go do whatever they want to do. If applicants are interested in doing research, what kind of opportunities are there for prospective residents to be able to do research either formally through some sort of program or informally during the course of the residency program?
So all of our residents are expected to do some sort of formal research during their training. Dr. Helawa, as you alluded to, is our research coordinator right now. So he's really good at getting the residents geared up with projects early on in PGY1. We have lots of staff that are involved in all various types of research, whether it's medical education or whether it is clinical research. We've got a few staff doing some actual, you know, benchtop basic science research as well. So that's available for our residents. There is funding for an additional year of training if people want to do a master's. So there's a Masters of Science in Surgery program here at the University of Manitoba. And there's also the CIP program that the residents can apply to. That is a competitive stream, obviously, that is shared amongst other programs in the University of Manitoba. But that comes with a 2-year funding for the CIP program. So research, no matter what, is required. But there is an extra year that's funded and an extra 2 years that can be funded if they're successful in that application as well.
Justin, sadly, I haven't had the opportunity to really live or spend really any significant period of time in Winnipeg. Is that where most of the rotations will be for residents that come through? Do they spend any time elsewhere besides Winnipeg?
So there are a few community sites that are in and around Winnipeg that the residents can do their community surgery rotation in. Some of them will choose to do it in some of the community hospitals here in the city, but there are a few of the more rural towns that are, you know, an hour, 2 hours, even 3 hours away from Winnipeg that do accept residents. We've got a really good working relationship with the surgeons in those centers. And so some of the residents will choose to go out to some of those locations as well. There are two main teaching sites here in the city, the Health Sciences Center in St. Boniface, and then our Children's Hospital is attached to the Health Sciences Center, so it's kind of the same campus. But there are other community hospitals that the residents can spend their 2 or 3 month community rotation at.
And for anyone who hasn't lived in Winnipeg, what's the city like? What does Winnipeg have to offer in terms of things to do outside the hospital?
So, I mean, I think Winnipeg's great. Obviously, I'm a little biased because I live here. I think Winnipeg gets a bit of a bad rap. It is, I think it's kind of a hidden gem in Canada. Obviously, our winters are cold. So, you know, in the winter, you just have to embrace it. But there's lots to do. We are a large city with a small city feel. You know, population is, I think, around 760,000 people. We have an NHL team, obviously. We've got a CFL team. We've got professional soccer. We've got the ballet. We've got the symphony orchestra. There's lots of stuff. I think the culinary scene in Winnipeg is actually fantastic. There is, I think, something like 1,600 restaurants here. You know, great eating. There's chefs from all over the world that come in and open up restaurants. There is festivals that happen in all four seasons. So if there's stuff that you like to do, there's always something available. It's a good arts city. There's actually lots and lots of the arts here in Winnipeg, so it's really good.
Yes, anybody who I know who has lived in Winnipeg or has gotten to visit Winnipeg has just had nothing but good things to say. So I think so residents will enjoy their time that spent living in Winnipeg.
Yeah, and nothing beats the Winnipeg summer. The summers here are incredible.
That's awesome, Dr. Varden. You've taken over from Dr. McKay as of this year as a program director. Do you see anything big changes coming to the program moving forward, or do you think it's going to be really more of the same? Are there any perhaps challenges that you see moving forward?
Well, you know, I don't foresee any challenges. You know, we went through our accreditation last year, or I guess, well, yeah, last year, 2022 now, and so we're fully accredited for the next 8 years. So I think we made a lot of really great improvements leading into that accreditation. That was facilitated through with Dr. Mackay. I cannot take any credit for all the hard work that he did, but he, you know, really got the program in what I think is fantastic shape. So I'm actually taking over the program at a really good point. With full accreditation. So, you know, I just started my role in October. So, you know, I've got a few ideas of things that I'm hoping to do, but we've got a good foundation, and I think we've got a really good lead into our next accreditation 8 years from now.
Well, I think the University of Manitoba program is lucky to have you as their program director. So I'm excited to see what comes out of the program in the next few years.
Thank you.
So again, thank you so much for your time. It's late in the evening there, and you know, thank you for spending the time with us and for all the hard work that you do as a program director. Do you have any advice for applicants who are coming through this cycle? Whether specifically for their interviews with the University of Manitoba or more broadly and generally for their applications for general surgery this year.
So I think you know, I look back to when I was going through CARMS, and even though it's getting further away every year, it's still very fresh into my memory. And so, you know, in terms of advice that I could give, I think that really be yourself, and you know, don't see it as people interviewing you, but also as you interviewing programs. I think that, you know, every potential resident wants to find a place that they can be proud to call home. And I think that every program wants to get applicants that really want to be there. So I think that it's finding that good fit. It's, you know, a match of the place you want to be, the training that's offered, the residents that you're going to be working with. I think all those things really need to come into play. I think that you're going to get excellent training anywhere in Canada. All the programs are going to be fantastic. Everybody's going to have the ability to come out as a well-trained surgeon. It's really, you know, those relationships that you're gonna foster in your 5 years of training that I think is gonna be really important as well.
You've been listening to Cold Steel, the official podcast of the Canadian Journal of Surgery. If you like what you've heard, please leave us a review on iTunes. We'd love to hear your thoughts, comments, and feedback. So send us an email at podcast.cjs@gmail.com or tweet at us at CanJSurge. Thanks again.